Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
For the most part, I was really pleased with our fight, what we tried to do. I thought we did a good job of trying to take Blake Griffin out of the game. He made some threes that, you know, you could live or die with, but, you know, coming off 50 points last game and 35 shot attempts, and then tonight he only had 13. So we continue to keep getting better, but I did like our fight.
Well, Coach Tyronn Lue might have liked the fight from his Cavs on Thursday night, but he didn't get the win. And what is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Friday, October 26th. And your Pistons are 4-0. Mason, hit him with one for the win.
Detroit basketball!
This is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in the Motor City, covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Getting this out to you early on Friday afternoon. I know we normally get the podcast up first thing in the morning, so you got them for your morning commute, but didn't happen this time. A little bit tired after the Thursday night game. Had a long day in Allen Park and then at Little Caesars Arena, so I figured I'd give you the bonus Friday episode a little bit later on in the day after I got a couple other things done this morning. So, like I said, we normally do four podcasts a week without a Friday episode, but since we had the rare Thursday night game for the Pistons today on Thursday night, obviously, we will go with the fifth one and look ahead to the weekend as well. But thanks again for the listen. What's up to the new listeners? And I appreciate the regulars out there spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. As you would expect, the numbers are going up with the fan base a little bit invigorated by the 4-0 start, and we will see how that keeps up with it's kind of a nice little metric to follow, not only for my own personal reasons in terms of how we're doing numbers-wise and income-wise with the venture here with the Locked On Pistons podcast, but you can kind of judge how people are feeling about the team somewhat when you look at some of these numbers. But today we're going to run down Thursday's win against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Also talk about what the Luke Kennard injury could mean for the Pistons going forward. Just got the news that it's, we'll talk about it a little bit later, but it's a shoulder sprain as opposed to a separation. So probably good news there for the Detroit Pistons. We'll be reevaluated in a couple weeks. We're also going to look ahead to next week, but first this weekend, Saturday's game against the Boston Celtics at Little Caesars Arena. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that, also the Locked On Pistons Twitter feed, and give us a like on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-MattShook. We appreciate your patronage on social media there this season. But is your company looking for a new way to reach customers? You guys could be mentioned right now here on Locked On Pistons. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with sponsors they hear on their favorite podcast. Our demo is 98% males with more education and more earning power than your traditional media audiences. So have your company sponsor Locked On Pistons. Email me at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more. But 110-103 is the final. The Pistons beat the Cleveland Cavaliers. Your Detroit Pistons are 4-0 on the season, the first time in 10 years. The year that Joe Dumars traded Chauncey Billups 2 games into the season to the Denver Nuggets for Allen Iverson. The Cavs are 0-5 now for the first time since LeBron James was a rookie in 2003-2004, also Darko Milicic's rookie year. And a good year for the Pistons, if you recall, 2004's playoffs. A fun finish for the Lakers, by the way, last night, talking about LeBron. Hopefully you saw that one, the LeBron James Lance Stevenson duo, buddy cop movie, whatever you want to call it. Really good. They're entertaining for the Lakers. I know they're 2-3 right now. Have dropped a few to some good teams, but some real good games. The entertainment value is high, as you would imagine, with LeBron James with the Showtime Lakers. But the Pistons, 26-10 for Blake Griffin. He had 6 turnovers, by the way, a little concerning, but still an outstanding start to the season for Blake in Pistons white. 26 points and 22 rebounds for Andre Drummond, the 22nd time in his career that he's had over 20 in a game, the second time this season. He did it also in the opener against Brooklyn, the only guy in the league who has done it once this year, and Dre has done it twice. He was very good. I thought he struggled early in the first quarter, a little bit into the second quarter as well, but Blake got him going with 3 alley-oops, including consecutive possessions there late in the second quarter. A few more dunks under the basket, too. Got into it with the refs for a little bit, but composed himself enough to stay in the game, unlike Tuesday night against the Philadelphia 76ers. So a little bit of growth there from Andre Drummond, banging with Tristan Thompson throughout much of the game. Scored around the rim a little bit better than he has these last few games. 11 for 17 from the field and 4 for 6 from the line. So those are good percentages. That field goal percentage is more what we're used to with Dre. And there's Adrian Wojnarowski with some more news from Luke Kennard, by the way, on the phone. 3 to 4 weeks with a separated right shoulder, apparently, is the estimate for Luke Kennard. Late breaking news here on Locked on Pistons. But 16 points for Reggie Jackson, 10 points for Ish Smith. A professional podcast would be muting his phone before getting it started, but you know how we do here with the Locked on Pistons podcast as I push silent there now. Nice to see Ish Smith back in the end of the game, by the way. Went down with what looked like an ankle injury. A little bit of a scare there, but he did return in the final couple minutes. So really no concerns as far as I could tell there. But Reggie Jackson and Ishmith continue to look good at point guard. But I know doing the show yesterday that it was a 7-point spread at that time, and that was before the Kevin Love announced absence from Thursday night's game. So I can only assume that spread, since it was a few hours before the game that we knew he would not play, that spread moved meaningfully since then. So I'm assuming that 7-point deficit in the late three by the Cavs to make it a 7-point game, very late three, like in the last seconds, I remember they knocked down a three. So a pretty nice backdoor cover if you had the Cavs in that one. So congratulations to you if you did. But Luke Kennard, he had 8 points before getting injured. And like I said, we'll have more on that later. Sounds like 3 or 4 weeks for Luke from Duke. I never thought about it that way. Luke and Duke, they are rhyming words. How about that? I'm sure many of you guys have already come up with that one. But anyway, Langston Galloway, 8 points. Good to see him knock down a couple shots. He's been struggling with a shot early on. 1 for 3 from 3 for them. It's a stat we're keeping a close eye on so far this year. The Pistons were 11 for 28 from 3, 39%. So an output that Dwayne Casey would probably like to see up in terms of attempts, 28. He wants to be more in the 30-plus range. I think his fantasy is for the Pistons to be shooting near 40 a game or at 40 a game. I don't know if that's quite going to happen, especially in the early on. But a really nice team percentage there, 39%. So the Pistons will take that every night. Blake leading the way again there, 4 for 5 from 3 as he's on fire, according to NBA Jam, as his great start continues. Keep feeding him. Keep feeding the big fella. For Cleveland, who are without their big fella, Kevin Love, Pistons' great run of injury luck continues for the opponents. Add him to the list of Damari Carroll, Alan Crabb, Lauri Markkanen, Chris Dunn, Ben Simmons, all guys that the Pistons have missed. Have not had to play against early on in this season so far. And it has a lot to do with the 4-0 record, in addition to some nice play and some nice scheduling by the NBA for the Pistons early on. 21 points for Kyle Korver. Speaking of Cavs who were able to play on Thursday night, 18 for Jordan Clarkson. A lot of neck tattoos for Jordan Clarkson. Just a guy who just watching him play, and he looks like he's liable to do anything out there, and really, quite honestly, is in terms of good and bad, and just a wild card out there of a team that has quite a few of them. Not a good team, by the way. Colin Sexton had some moments. The rookie point guard against Ish Smith, 14 points and 5 assists out of the Alabama freshman. I like him. I've talked about that on this podcast a little bit, and he's going to be a problem for the Pistons in the Central Division for years and years to come. A stat that I did like, by the way, and this is going to tell you all you need to know about the Cavs right now. In Wednesday's loss against Brooklyn and in the first half on Thursday against the Pistons, the Cleveland starting backcourt of Rodney Hood and George Hill did not have a single assist. So that's a great sign for how things are going offensively for Tyronn Lue's team. Kyle Korver made a joke in the locker room after the game about how, yeah, they had some turnovers, but at least that means that they were passing the ball. So that's a good sign for them. Some progress from the team that has made the NBA Finals for the past 4 years or so. So not very good. Jetty Osman, who I was real happy to get in the last round of my fantasy draft before the season. I was patting myself on the back for that. Really good for the first two games of the season. He's been really bad since then. Followed out with 3 points on Thursday night, the Turkish player there. The Pistons play host to the Boston Celtics on Saturday night, 7 p.m. Little Caesars Arena. Should be a good crowd. Looking forward to being at that one for Associated Press once again. And the Pistons will be at Boston on Tuesday, at Brooklyn on Wednesday, and at Philly on Saturday night. Apparently, the Pistons are only going to be playing teams this year that they are very familiar with on the schedule. We're getting a lot of those teams, the East Coast teams, out of the way very quickly, apparently. So just play those teams all over and over again. So a 3-game road trip, all of those games next week. Celtics Tuesday, Brooklyn Wednesday on a back-to-back, and that is the Brooklyn team that came here on opening day, and we will see how that goes. Well, up next, we're going to talk about Luke Kennard's injury and what that means for the rotation. Up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
A little bit later on, we will talk about the Eastern Conference favorites, the Boston Celtics, coming to Detroit on Saturday night for what is always, or usually, a pretty fun matchup between the Pistons and the Boston Celtics. But let's talk about it. Luke Kennard, he's going to be out a little while. The second quarter on Thursday night against the Cleveland Cavaliers, Luke had been 4-for-4 in the game so far, 8 points, a season high in output for him. He was being aggressive, maybe even getting a little bit comfortable in Dwayne Casey's offense for the first time. He had the knee injury in the summer, which set him back a little bit in the offseason, and he hadn't done much in the summer since then. He was going to play a little point guard in summer league. We were all excited to see how that went. And turns out that it's not an experiment that is currently on the Pistons' agenda and won't be going forward for sure for the next 3 or 4 weeks. Channing Frye set the big screen for the Cleveland Cavaliers on Luke Kennard, who's right in front of me, in front of my courtside or baseline seats for the Associated Press. And it was obviously he was in pain right away. Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN.com, he had the news right away that it was at least a sprain on Thursday night. We're all kind of looking around, where is Adrian? How does he know that? But of course, gets the inside info on the BlackBerry or iPhone, whatever he uses. But then Adrian Wojnarowski passed along that Kennard would be getting an MRI on Friday today to see if it was a separation, which would be the worst case scenario in this case, as opposed to just a sprain. But a lot of pain for Luke Kennard. He went down and jogged back down for the offensive possession on the other end. Actually got the ball too, but couldn't really do anything with his right arm. So, like I said, a lot of pain. Obviously signaled for the timeout. The Pistons got it, and he came off the court. The news came from the Pistons today. They released it to the media via email on a press release that it was just a sprain and that he would be reevaluated in 2 weeks. So they didn't come out and say that it wasn't a separation, but that's obviously the news from the MRI that they performed. Didn't come out outright and say it, but it must have been how they determined that it was just a sprain. So 2 weeks for Luke Kennard. And then the news came from Woj a little bit after that was released that it would likely be 3 to 4 weeks of playing time that Kennard would be out. So 2 weeks of an evaluation and then 3 or 4 weeks probably is the estimate on how long he'll actually be out. Looking at the Pistons' schedule, if he's out 3 weeks, he'll miss 9 games. If he's out 4 weeks, then you're talking about 11 or 12 games. So just a little perspective there on the 82-game season. What does it mean for the Pistons in the meantime? Well, of course, it's going to be more minutes for Glenn Robinson III, who got the DNP against Philadelphia on Thursday night or Tuesday night and then didn't play in the first half against Cleveland on Thursday night, came in and stroked a J on one of his first possessions within the first minute of him being in there. So looked like he was fairly comfortable despite not getting a lot of minutes lately. And then some more minutes for Bruce Brown, who has basically fallen out of the regular rotation lately. We know about Bruce Brown's defense. He looks like he's certainly NBA ready on that side of the floor as an individual defender. We'll see if he gets more minutes of his team instincts and how those things look going forward. But offensively, he's been a bit of a train wreck, not the playmaker that he was in summer league, and certainly the shooter that we maybe expected, worst case scenario, that he just doesn't have it together right now on that side of the floor. He's 0-for-3 from the field. I think all those coming in the opener against Brooklyn and when he was a starter, a surprise starter. And then 0-for-2 on the free throw line. He put up a couple free throws on Thursday looking for his first NBA points and came up empty there after Luke Kennard went out in the second quarter and Bruce Brown finished off the half for him. In emergencies, in the new role that Bruce Brown was playing, of that emergency role, maybe a couple minutes there, maybe even see Khyree Thomas. Remember him? The other second-round pick that the Pistons have. He's a guy who's still with the team every day and not on a two-way deal like Zach Lofton. So one would suspect that maybe Khyree Thomas gets a new crack at the wing minutes before Zach Lofton, who's on the two-way deal. So, you'd have to shuttle him back and forth from Grand Rapids or wherever Grand Rapids happens to be playing during that time. We're going to talk about the Drive a little bit next week when we get some time as they're starting their season two as well, got their roster in place. But I spent some time before the game on Thursday just sitting watching Bruce Brown and Khyree Thomas go through their shooting drills before the game. And it's like you would expect. Khyree Thomas is a little bit further along as a shooter. Bruce Brown, the form looks pretty good to me. He doesn't look like he doesn't know what he's doing shooting the ball, but he's just off. The feel is not there at all. He threw up I saw consecutive air balls off the backboard trying to cross over and kind of at the high post there, a three-pointer, throwing it up from my favorite spot, just opposite the very top of the key. But I forget the right wing, the right lane extension. So if the line was coming up right from the right side of the top of the key there, right, draw a line straight to the 3-point line there. My favorite spot to shoot. He was missing and airballing from there. So a lot of ways to go for Bruce Brown in terms of his 3-pointers. But Locked On NBA, that podcast never went away and is still here for you every day. Locked On NBA is your daily national NBA podcast. Every Monday, get the local experts on the biggest stories, and then stay with the Locked On NBA podcast all week long with daily 30 minutes on everything going on in the league. Follow for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On NBA. New guests as well. On the national side of things, Sam Amick of The Athletic and Ben Golliver of Sports Illustrated. Good stuff daily from Locked On NBA. But next, we're going to look ahead to the Boston Celtics. That's next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. Also this weekend, we know the Detroit Lions are hosting the Seattle Seahawks on Sunday. Matt Derry has everything you need to know on the Locked On Lions podcast. You know Matt from Detroit Sports Radio, friend of the Locked On Pistons show. As well, he has a daily look at the Leos. You should be checking that out on the network of the Locked On Pistons. Sorry, Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network out there. The Celtics coming to town on Saturday. They are 3-2 after losses to the Toronto Raptors and the Orlando Magic last weekend, and a tough one for the Celtics there. I had a chance to watch the Celtics twice, as many of you probably had. They were on national TV in the opener against Philly and also played against Toronto. And you know, slow start for Brad Stevens' crew there. Sounds like Gordon Hayward is starting a little slow, and they're figuring out the rotations, as you might expect with throwing an all-star onto a team that made Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals last year. Hayward had 5 points on Thursday in a win against the Oklahoma City Thunder, who are now 0-4, by the way. In that game, Marcus Morris, 21-10 off the bench for the Celtics. Kyrie Irving is really struggling from the field so far, particularly from three. He had two bad games in the ones that I watched of theirs. He's shooting 21% from three-point land right now. Jason Tatum, by the way, 27% from three after the great season he had from deep as a rookie. Although in year two, Tatum has been good pretty much everywhere else, though, getting 18-10 a game right now, really stepping up as the best player on that team. Ahead of schedule, really, as a guy who's kind of coming into his own in the NBA overall, and we will see how he does against the depleted wings of the Detroit Pistons on Saturday. Al Horford, you can kind of see him losing a little bit of the shine with all the talent on the team. He had 19 on Thursday night, but I would imagine that he probably won't be an all-star again as the Celtics are. It's going to be crowded. It's going to be tough to pick those all-stars. I would imagine Kyrie and Tatum are probably in that group as of right now. A lot of basketball to be played, but just with the pecking order of where Tatum worked himself into in the NBA lexicon this year, or last year more so, with the playoffs and him kind of taking over at times for a team that that made a deep run and was on TV a lot and on Twitter a lot and all that good stuff. But I'm interested in seeing how the Pistons match up against this team, as I'm sure a lot of you are, especially over a two-game sample size. We do know that Andre Drummond will be up for this one. He plays really well against the Boston Celtics. We remember the game from last November where they went to Boston and got the big victory. I was in Florida watching that one at a bar and enjoyed seeing the Pistons get that win there. Andre gets, over his career, gets 17 points and 15 rebounds a game against the Boston Celtics. That 17.1 points per game is his highest scoring average against any team in the league, and his rebounding mark is the third out of any opponents that he faces over his career. So he's got a career average of 13-13, basically, but gets 17-15 against the Boston Celtics. So big margins on the upswing for the splits for those. His lowest scoring average, by the way, is 10.6 points per game against the, think about it, who is it? It's the Washington Wizards. I don't know why there's any rhyme or reason for why he's played poorly offensively scoring-wise against the Wizards, but that's why. Some old friends alerts. As we know, Marcus Morris, as mentioned before, old Piston there that was traded in the move that ended up getting Avery Bradley for the Pistons. Pistons legend Avery Bradley over before last season. And then Aron Baynes, former friend who left in free agency after 2 years ago as well. Baynes has not played in the last two games with a hamstring injury for the Celtics, so we will see if he comes back on Saturday night in Detroit for what should be an emotional homecoming for Aron Baynes with the Pistons fans. I say that tongue-in-cheek, but he was a nice player off the bench as Andre Drummond's backup for a couple years in Detroit. I saw a 4.5-point spread in favor of the Celtics just now, but there's Not all the books have posted, but the two books that I saw do have the Celtics favored by 4.5, which seemed a little high to me, given that the home team usually gets about 3 points just off the bat there. So a 4-0 team at home, a 4-0 team is thought to be 7.5 points or so, a touchdown or so, underdogs to the Boston Celtics. We know that they're probably the cream of the crop in the Eastern Conference, but certainly not playing like it right now with that loss at home to Orlando the other day. And we'll just see what kind of Celtics team they're rolling out here in the beginning of the season. But over the weekend, if you got any thoughts, send a text or give us a call on the new Google voicemail line for the show, 810-666-1546. Again, that's 810-666-VINNIE-JOHNSON, Joe Dumars, Terry Mills, 810-666-1546. If you've had a couple of pops at the bar and you're watching the game Saturday night, we'd really love to hear what you have to say during that one. But we also asked the question the other day, what's the best jersey to get for Detroit sports fans, particularly with the Pistons, of course? Is there someone that you're looking at of picking up the jersey, or one of the mainstay stars over the past couple years, have Andre or Reggie grown on you so far with their starts of the season, or are you just a big Blake Griffin fan now, a Blake stan, as it goes? But give us a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that. Also check on the Locked On Pistons Twitter account @LockedOnPistons, and also give us a like on the Facebook page, Locked On Pistons-MattShook. Give us a rating and review on iTunes as well. Thanks for your patience and us getting up the podcast here on Friday. Spread the word. Listen to it again over the weekend. Give us the download numbers. We really appreciate that. But this is your host, Matt Shook, saying congratulations so far on your Pistons going 4-0, sticking with them over the years. I know we got some of the diehards that are listeners to the Locked On Pistons podcast, and we'll see how this season unfolds. A big one against the Boston Celtics, the hated Celtics. If you're a Pistons fan, you got to hate the Celtics. That's kind of in your DNA. But enjoy the weekend, everyone. Get the Lions a win on Sunday, and we'll be back on the show on Monday with all the look back, all the look forward, and everything you need to know about your Detroit Pistons. Thanks for listening, everyone.